coming to you live from the city that time forgot. It's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now, your favorite blacksmith, here's Nate.
That's right. I take the fires and the metals and mold them into one. Put shoes on your horse's feet and build your tools so you can build your town.
Wow.
Do you build helms for all the knights of the realm? Like a Game of Thrones kind of?
Well, no, I'm not that old-timey a blacksmith. I'm more of a colonial times blacksmith.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no cod pieces.
Okay.
Because that's kind of weird. Hi.
Hey, you need to keep your cod safe, dude.
I could, but I prefer to let my cod swing freely.
Okay.
Sitting in again today for Christiana is Mel. Welcome back, Mel.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, Mel. Hope you've been well since we saw you last.
Totally amazing.
Wink.
It's true. Coming up on the show, we're going to reveal to you, each of us, what would be heaven and hell music for us. That's right. The song that would be playing on a loop in hell and the song that would be playing on a loop in heaven. We also have some news crews who were attacked by victims' families. So that was weird. And a town in Spain has an innovative way to deal with people who don't pick up their dog poop.
Nice.
So we'll talk about all those things. Want to talk to Mel for a little bit. Mel used to do the show with myself and our super gay friend Larry until last fall.
Super gay.
He is. He's super and he's gay. And sometimes super gay.
Yeah.
So if you like Mel on the show and you're like, I like that Mel, I'd like to hear more of her, you can go to NateDarlingShow.com. Every show we've ever done is on the website. So you can go back and listen to the classic shows and listen to myself and Mel and Larry and
all our dirty, dirty talk.
It's true. Some of it got really, really ribbled.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And you guys
for your
did.
Pleasure.
Oh.
Ribbled for your pleasure.
I see what you did.
Okay.
You did about how many shows together? Like 70 something?
Yeah, I think it was 70 shows when we switched off. It was after, because we did, it was like a year and a half. Yeah, 79 or 80 shows. It was something, we started the first part of July in 1 year and went through the end of October of the following year.
So basically, if people want to catch up on Mel, I mean, they don't have to. I mean, that would fill their work week for a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mel joined for show number 2 as a guest and then permanently on show number 3.
And then I wouldn't leave.
And then Mel wouldn't leave. Because the first show was just Larry and I. And it was interesting because it was just sort of a back and forth between two of us. But when we were able to add Mel, it was kind of cool. So this is a show that started with 2 people. Now we're up to 4. Which
wow.
Is, and we've had 5.
You're going to have to get a bigger place soon.
Hell no. I love my apartment.
That's part of the charm of it. We all just keep squeezing around the same little coffee table.
It's true. And we even did it on location at Christiana's palatial estate
right.
A couple weeks ago. Did you guys watch the Formula One race in Canada?
No, we can only do that when people who have live TV invite us over.
Oh, sorry.
it's okay, I'm sure.
I watched it live. I would have invited you over, but I forgot. Yeah, live on NBC. Interesting race. Sebastian Vettel won again. It's the end of our Formula One coverage. Sad story, though. at the end of the race, as the marshals were taking care of a car that had broken down, they were towing it off with like... sort of a bobcat front end loader. So the car's up in the air with a bucket and they've got the marshals who are holding onto it with a strap so it doesn't swing freely. Apparently one of the marshals dropped his radio or his phone and he bent over to pick it up and he was run over by that piece of equipment and died.
Oh my God.
It's horrible.
And that happened right after the end of the race. So just sort of crazy stuff that goes on. So
yikes.
Yeah. Nutty.
It's that reflex to pick things up. That's why when people are doing stuff in their car, like eating french fries or texting...
Oh,
yeah. Oh, God.
Distracted.
It is so hard if you drop something when you're driving to not go and pick it up.
It is, totally.
My dad told me a story when he went into the National Guard in the 60s. They were doing grenade practice where they were being taught how to throw grenades. And basically when you're throwing grenades, you're in this walled off area where you stand up and you toss the grenade out. And they showed them this one and they tell them, if you drop the grenade, don't pick it up. Get clear and let your instructor pick up the grenade. And they brought them to this one blood-stained little bunker where somebody dropped the grenade, tried to pick it up, And because he didn't know what he was doing and he was panicking, they were both killed.
Oh, no.
Wow.
So that's a lesson that is not forgotten. When somebody goes, here's what happens if you try and pick up the grenade. You're both going to die. So if you drop the grenade, back away and get out and let the instructor take care of it. So
we'll do that.
At least my lesson on this is what happens when you don't clear your firearm of all the bullets in it was not as deadly.
Well, that's good. Was this when you were on the force, Mel?
It was a flesh wound. To someone.
Oh, that's right. I remember this story.
What part of their body?
You dropped it. You dropped the gun.
I did not clear the gun, and to take the gun apart, you had to pull the trigger. So I actually shot someone.
Oh God.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, Mel. If you go back and listen to the archives, we have lots of great stories of Mel. And her time on the police force was a lot like this.
It really was.
Where did you shoot the dude in the butt?
I did.
All right,
in the butt.
Nice.
And was he cool? Did he get mad or did he understand?
I don't think he appreciated it.
No.
He was glad to actually get out of the academy for a day and a half and get to go eat like fast food and see cute nurses. But no, I don't think he appreciated the butt wound.
So he owes you, really.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Well, he was doubly mad because then at the end of the academy, you take the peace officer training exam, and I scored the highest score in the state and beat him by like a tenth of a point. So then I shot him and beat him on the test.
Oh,
damn.
I know. I'm a dick.
Yeah. Either way. Speaking of dicks, we found some funny breakup texts, although some of them not really funny. And should you really be breaking up via text?
No.
Apparently that's the thing to do now. Here's a text back and forth. Babe, I think I'm pregnant. The reply, the AT&T subscriber you, spelled Y-U, are trying to reach is no longer in service. The reply, you know you spelled you wrong. And then he corrected it. Yeah, that's not a good one. here's sort of a knock-knock joke for it. Who's there, babe? Single. Single who? Single you. Real funny, babe. Not a joke. Just didn't want to be too harsh on you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you told me in a knock-knock joke, so it didn't hurt as bad.
This one's... I love when you have, like, the title at the top of the phone. This one, the title at the top is Babe. Mm-hmm. What would you do if I broke up with you? The reply, get back with my ex, smiley face. Now I see how much you care. I'm done. The reply, hey, you want to go out? Then he goes, go with your ex. He goes, you are my ex, smiley face.
See, I think he was just trying to be cute there.
Sure.
Like Paul always says, if you leave me, I'm going with you. It had that same kind of feel.
So which is worse? Your girlfriend texting you this, I want to break up with you. Or after 1 minute adding this, sorry, wrong number.
Wow.
Like, I'm relieved I'm not being broken up with. But
I didn't know it was more of this.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't think this is going to work. I'm breaking up with you. Sorry. Whatever, you'll never find someone like me. And the reply back is, that's the point.
That is always kind of funny, though, when you're like telling someone it's not working and they're like, you're never going to have better, or like, or like, yeah, I'm the best you'll ever. And you're like, oh, really? Because no, I don't know.
Because this was miserable.
Right.
Let's start with this one. I don't think this is really working. I'm breaking up with you. The reply, I'm your wife. You can't exactly break up with me. I'm living in your house. You could just walk over to the other side of the room and tell me you want to get divorced. To which he replies, oops, sorry, that was meant for someone else. And she says, oh, okay, smiley face. Wait, what?
That's fucked up.
It is. Then you know how people like to abbreviate things?
OMG.
Yeah. Have you heard ILY?
I like you.
I love you.
Then the reply is, can you please spell it out? It makes everything more special, smiley face. I'm leaving you.
Boo.
That's funny. Wha-bam! So, yeah. I don't know if these are funny.
Is kind of funny with text. Like, I heart you. Will you write it all out? Because it's more special. Like, I don't know. I don't know how special a text really is.
And we'll end with this one. Hey, smiley face. Hey, we need to talk. Yeah? Look, our relationship is like doing push-ups on your knees. It's just not working out. What? OMG, did you just break up with me? Yes, and in sort of a clever way, if that can be done cleverly.
That's a horrible example, though.
Is it a clever or is it a cliche? Like, I don't know, it sounds like a canned pickup line, like a canned breakup line.
Yeah, these all sound made up.
Yeah.
I'm suspect.
They seem weird, but yeah.
It's funny to think about.
It's on the Huffington Post. It
oh,
must be real.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Huffington Post.
So this article sort of made me wonder. It's from Jezebel, which I normally hate, and I kind of hate anyway. The title, "If Comedy Has No Lady Problems, Why Am I Getting So Many Rape Threats?"
Because they're funny.
And she writes, "Last Thursday I went on FX's Totally Biased with W. Kamau Bell and tried to explain rape culture in a few 15-second sound bites. I was in a debate with comedy vet Jim Norton, who's been thoughtful and fair throughout the whole thing, so don't be mean to him, who essentially took the stance that comedy requires absolute freedom in order to function. Comedians joke about difficult issues because it's a release of tension for people uncomfortable with those issues. It's catharsis. No subject should ever be off limits, and comedians should not be silenced. In any way, language doesn't affect culture, so how could rape jokes have an effect on actual rape? Rape is illegal. Everyone hates rape." She writes, "Well, that's the fundamental disconnect between us. I believe the way we speak about things and the type of media we consume profoundly influences how we think about the world. Let me be clear. I don't believe that previously non-raping audience members are going to take to the streets in a rape mob after hearing one rape joke. That's an absurd and insulting mischaracterization. I do believe that comedy's current permissiveness around cavalier, cruel, victim-targeting rape jokes continues... contributes to a culture of young men who don't understand what it means to take this stuff seriously." I don't buy that. I really don't. I think when you start equating words to actions a little bit too much, I think you devalue the actual actions when it does happen.
Well, I don't think they should do a chicken crossing the road joke because it's offensive to chickens.
Right. I don't know.
I'm just thinking about this. Like, as I grew up, I would hear stand-up that always made fun of gay people, and I certainly think it would affected my perception of gay people. And I think I've evolved since then and have changed my position, but I do understand how jokes that are accepted as funny can actually contribute to a culture of insensitivity.
You make a good point. Are you thinking of Eddie Murphy? Delirious, for example?
Another one.
I thought that was hilarious when I was a child. That was, like, some of the funniest stand-up comedy. And now some of it just really makes me cringe. And
right, as an adult.
Right.
As an adult who's hearing...
I mean, as an adult in the 80s, I probably would have thought it was funny. But now, culturally, we're changing. I don't know what side that makes a point for, though.
Oh, it makes the point that I do think certain jokes do contribute to the general perception that
acceptance.
People have.
But the problem is everybody's offended by everything these days, and comedians would just have to stop as a business because most of what comedy is making fun of somebody or something.
Right.
But I think you can make some fun of something to make a point. I mean, what's the point of saying, "Oh, let's slap a bitch and, you know, make her suck my dick. Get it? Ha ha. She deserves it." I mean, there's nothing redeeming about it.
Oh, that sounds like open mic nights at comedy clubs everywhere.
It does. And here's where I go with this. Comedy, and especially stand-up comedy, is an audiences control this. And here's how they do. If nobody laughs at your joke, then you might do it again. And if nobody laughs again, you might go, "Wow, this isn't getting anything." And then you might do it a third time. And if nobody laughs a third time, you're not doing the joke anymore. It doesn't matter what the subject matter is because you're not getting any sort of reaction to it. And so if you're in the audience and somebody whips out a rape joke, which isn't remotely clever or funny or whatever, the best thing to do is to sit there quietly and stare at the person. It's not to get up and go, "I'm horribly offended. That's terrible," because that just sort of feeds into the whole thing. Because what a comedian hates more than anything in the universe, when you're standing on stage, and I've done stand-up, when you're standing on stage doing material for a crowd of people, the worst thing is silence. No reaction whatsoever, because there's nothing to play off of. And if you want to get rape jokes out of whatever, that's how it happens. It happens because the audience changes. There's no audience for that. And a joke that isn't funny will fall by the wayside sooner than later on the merits of it not being funny, not on it being offensive or not, because I mean, ultimately, that's what it's about when you're talking about stand-up. It's a complete meritocracy. This is funny, it gets laughs. This isn't funny, it doesn't get laughs. And there are some clubs that will go, hey, man, don't do this because we're sort of a friendly place. Like our friend Keith runs Luna's, and he doesn't censor anybody per se, but he does make it clear that it is a friendly room. It's not a hardcore drinking whatever comedy club where you're going to get this and you shouldn't, and you know, don't heckle the comedians unless they start with you first. And on the comedian side, don't start doing things that are obviously going to make the audience members uncomfortable. But that's a specific sort of setup. And when you walk into Luna's and you do that room, you know sort of the construct of that. And if you're going to do it, then you do it that way. But I would tend to agree with the fact that, yeah, let it fall off to the side. But that being said, now if you guys have anything else to say? Because I want to go into some of the things that she's getting in terms of reaction.
I'll just say that I understand to a degree what you're saying if you know don't respond to it and the comedian will learn not to. But if you're living in a part somewhere in the, I'll just say the Deep South, and someone's up there making N-word jokes and everyone's all yuck, 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 N-word jokes are funny because that's the culture there, then it's just going to keep perpetuating itself. So
I disagree.
Where do you draw the line on, I mean, we are a country with free speech, and I mean, people get offended if you're talking about killing an animal, talking about gay people, talking about black people, talking about Jewish people. I mean, that's so much a comedy. Like, okay, you can't do culture jokes of any sort. You can't do hurting things of any sort. You can't do shaming jokes of any sort. You can't do fat jokes because that's a big thing now. I mean, after a while, it's like, so just stop doing comedy, I guess. I think at some point you have to understand, like, comedy is, a lot of it is making fun of people or groups of people. I mean, that's part of it. And if you say, don't do that, then how come people can still do Jewish jokes or racial jokes? I mean, at some point it's like, I don't appreciate it either. I don't like them. And I won't laugh if I hear a joke that offends me, but I'm not going to stop your right from telling bad jokes.
Yeah. I mean,
it depends on how you can, I feel like people can joke intelligently about all of those subjects. But sometimes what passes for jokes, especially at more amateur levels, is just really just kind of cruel,
pathetic, and
picking
offensive
on people. Mm-hmm. And as someone who has used to host a comedy open mic and has been to a lot of comedy at the open mic level, I'm very familiar with being like a supportive woman face in the audience and having a guy on stage whose jokes start to sort of founder just kind of turn to me and start making just really like sexual insults toward me. I've had guys just on stage just like, how do I become part of your act? And why are you asking me if I like anal sex or whatever? And like, that's happened to me multiple times. That specific thing, like, let's talk to this girl in the front row who I don't know about anal sex. That like, that seems like a thing that should be an anomaly. It's happened to me a bunch at comedy shows. And so there is a culture there that needs some enlightening, but I agree, probably like censoring the subject matter of jokes isn't the way to do it. But I do wish that there was a little more sensitivity than I personally have experienced in the comedy scene.
Yeah. Well, I think you stumbled on it right there. It's people who are floundering. They're not getting any reaction. So it's like, I need to get a reaction out of somebody about something. So I'm going to say something uncomfortable because then maybe someone will go, ooh, don't do that. And then you can turn and go somewhere else. It's
what I appreciate, though, was that they did. Was it the fact that this happened? They had an intelligent conversation.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Jim Norton, who I don't love, frankly, as a comedian, wasn't an asshole and didn't just say, you know, fuck you, bitch. You should get raped because you're stupid.
Right.
He had a conversation and she got hurt and he got hurt. And I know Nate's leading up to it, but what shocked me was actually the response she got from the public. Because if you have an opinion, you can do what we're doing right now and kind of hash it out among people and talk about the points of view. That's the way we deal with this stuff and figure it out. Just coming back with some bonehead asshat remark, you're not accomplishing anything with being a douche.
Right. I mean, that's what we're trying to do here is have an open, honest, intelligent discussion about it, not bash anybody. Were you going to say something, Ted?
Oh, I just don't know. It sounded like I was advocating censoring people. That's not what I'm doing. The point I'm making is that I feel like again, this kind of talk does trickle down and can perpetuate the same jokes over and over again, because somewhere someone must be laughing. So the fact that these intelligent conversations are taking place in a hope high profound manner is good. And as we can see by what the comments we see, it needs to be had, and not just sit silently and not laugh. I think maybe bringing it to a higher level and talking about it is a good step in the right direction.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you're in a comedy club and you're offended by something, for our listeners, if you're in a comedy club and you're offended, seriously, the best way to completely shut it down is to absolutely not respond.
Hear, hear.
I mean, comedians thrive on attention, good and bad. And if you don't give it to them, that's what they hate. So this woman has gotten a lot of terrible response, and not just from anonymous trolls, from local comics too, probably some of these open mic people types, people that she knows and has worked with. They've told her to shut the fuck up. One hopes that she'll fall down a flight of stairs. That person later apologized to her boyfriend, not to her.
Nice.
Here are some of the comments from someone who calls themselves I'm righty, you're stupid. No need for you to worry about rape, uggo. Then I'm not going to go through all the names. Love how the bitch complaining about rape is the exact sign of bitch that you would never be, that would never be raped. Why is my vagina being used as a crutch? Bitch, have you looked in the mirror? Your vagina isn't being used for shit. Then somebody else comes with, she's got hairy cunt tweener leg, thighs. Like, really? What?
This was a part that just made me nauseous.
Yeah, and it's just comment after comment. Lindy West is a fat cunt who is completely unfuckable. Fat, ugly, angry, no man in her life. This is the conclusion. Let's cut the bullshit. That broad doesn't have to worry about rape.
Wow. See, people are scummy. Some people.
And these are people with a lot of keyboard courage. You know, people whose avatar is just a silhouette. And their handle is a few initials and a bunch of numbers that were randomly assigned. Although Lance Nagel tweeted to both of them, both her and Jim Norton, it's a man's world, Lindy. You and Jimmy are just living in it. Fat dykes like yourself shouldn't have opinions. Although I'm more offended that he spelled dykes with an I.
Nah.
I mean, that sort of show. If you're going to insult lesbians and call them dykes.
Spell check.
Yeah, and she's not even a lesbian, but whatever.
Yeah, just be respectful in spelling things.
Then Patrick Clark he tweeted to Joe Rogan, Jim Norton, and somebody else, why is it almost all women that hate men are most unfuckable people ever?
Horrible people.
Seriously.
Isn't it interesting? That's pretty much the nature of all the insults is like, you're not attractive.
I'm not even good enough to be raped.
Right. Like, yeah. I don't know.
So I completely understand where she's coming from in terms of when you bring this up, it brings out the crustiest, most horrible people from the dark reaches of the internet. But at the same time, when you shine a light on them and you start to see what those people are like, it just becomes more and more ugly. So,
and Norton wrote a good response to this, I thought, you know, because he did some, there's been a lot of follow up, and he sort of said, you know, if you want to make an intelligent response about why she's wrong, that's one thing. But to just use insult just shows that you're an idiot and have nothing to really say on the topic and don't know anything about it.
Right. I disagree with what she's saying to a certain extent. And I stated my case without insulting her because, you know, I don't know her at all. I don't care what she looks like. I have a different opinion.
She's also not particularly ugly, so I just find it offensive that they're lying.
No, she's a very average-looking woman with a boyfriend who's been apologized to for someone hoping that she'll fall down the stairs. Anyway, you know, you ever had a coworker you didn't get along with, Mel?
Yeah.
Becca, what about you? Anybody you just didn't?
Yes.
Ted, I know you work at home.
But even so, every once in a while.
Sure, well, it's weird. It happens to all of us, but it's really weird if it happens and you work on TV.
Oh, God.
On live TV. Let's take a listen to Nicole Brewer, the anchor, and Carol Erickson, the meteorologist. And this doesn't come across quite as well on audio as when you see it, but you'll get the hint.
After that, we like that with a couple of shower chances by the time we get to Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And thanks for the hard-to-get applause, Nicole and Kevin. Yes.
How's that, Carol? Is that good enough for you? Okay, I'll try a little harder next time. Thanks so much.
Oh,
meanwhile,
yeah.
A high-speed chase.
Apparently, that wasn't even the only...
So I'm going to turn it down. There's commentary between these clips, so when they pop back up, I'll turn it back up again.
Wow, so, that was snooty.
The anchor is a form...
He is a father of 12.
They clearly hate each other.
Grandchildren and two great-grandchildren. Wow. Good for Ozzy. Now, it may be his birthday, but Carol, when it comes to the weather, we want no monkey business, okay? All good things.
It's 49 degrees in Philadelphia, Nicole. We have a temperature of 30.
I tried. You can't even give me that, can you?
38 degrees up through the Allentown area at this point. 44 in damp weather. Not anything nearly as great as it will be this weekend, Nicole.
Well, Carol, I would say that forecast is bananas, but I know that's going to be completely wasted on you. So,
that was so clever.
Oh, my God.
Taking it back right now. All right, changing gears.
Completely lost.
It's going to be Carol. I understand you have some good news and possibly a halo behind you.
Possibly a halo. Nicole, of
it's
course
always,
the halo.
It always comes into question when it's you and a halo.
I know, isn't it odd that I'm the one always carrying this halo around? Well, we have a beautiful start to the day, Nicole.
The halo they're talking about is they've got the tower cam up behind the weather lady, and it's the sun. So it's shining around her head.
I feel really sorry for Carol. I feel like most of that shade was being thrown by Nicole, and it just must suck to like have to show up every day and have somebody just be like,
well, especially because the Nicole lady is like younger and very made up and pretty, and the other lady's sort of older and more normal looking.
Yeah, Nicole Brewer is a former Miss Pennsylvania, and Carol is a meteorologist who, if I had to put a guess to her age, I'd say she's somewhere around 50.
Yeah.
50 mm-hmm. years old.
I feel like Nicole is a mean girl. Like, it's, I don't know, this, I feel really bad for this situation. And I'm frankly surprised their bosses are not putting a stop to this, because it makes
TV.
Me uncomfortable just to listen to it.
Well, that it does, but people tune in to see sort of weird things sometimes, and if your management's cool with whatever it takes.
Our time now, 6:30. Let's get you a check on weather with meteorologist Carol Erickson in the Weather Center.
Nicole, morning, it's just perfect out
breathtaking.
There. It's wonderful. We've
lovely
got...
like you, Carol.
Yes, exactly.
Is how I would describe it.
It's me too.
Yeah, I knew you would.
Nicole,
I could see you pulling that whole "Don't you know who I am?" Come
what?
On.
You said you could. Or you
I could see you doing it.
Oh, you?
Yeah,
then
I could.
You
see
don't know
you
me
doing
at all. You don't know who.
I love the laughing.
Don't you know? See?
It's like, yeah, when you say "bless your heart" after you're like, "You're ugly as shit." Bless your heart.
Right.
So yeah, that's what's going on in Philadelphia and morning TV. Wow,
that's uncomfortable. I have to tune out of that show.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Do you know,
Nate? Has anything come of that?
I haven't heard of anything, but honestly, all of this publicity is probably good. I don't know how that morning show ranks in terms of viewers and ratings in Philadelphia, but unless you're already number one, you probably don't mind that, because people will tune in to go, what will they fight about now?
Yeah. That makes me sad, because then I feel like it's just going to be like written in this kind of like, you know, bitchy incivility will be like perpetuated.
Listen, I don't think it needs to be perpetuated. I think it's one of those things that if you don't do anything, it's just going to go on, because they obviously don't like each other. So unless somebody steps in and goes, okay, you need to stop it, it's going to keep going. And so, and honestly, until you take them away from each other or put in another co-anchor between them to sort of mediate and mitigate it a little bit, this will continue. And if they leave those two together, it's either because everybody's got an ironclad contract or they don't mind the publicity.
Maybe we could get Carol and Nicole to have their own reality show, like behind the scenes of Good Morning Philadelphia or whatever that is. And I don't know. I feel like this could go somewhere.
It's interesting. It's too bad Christiana's not here, because I don't know if you know this or not, but she is a lawyer.
If there's one thing America needs, it's more lawyers.
A boozy Brooklyn lawyer tried to skip out on a $6 taxi fare, then was busted after stripping off her panties and tossing them at cops while screaming profanities. Cops found a very drunk Stephanie Hendricks, 39, who has clerked for an Oregon Supreme Court justice and served as a Blackman Fellow. I don't know what that is. Do you know, Mel, what a Blackman Fellow is?
I do not. I mean, it's clearly a fellow program of some sort.
I don't know what that is either.
Fellowships are like postgraduate specialty programs usually.
There you go. Apparently in front of a Williamsburg, Brooklyn deli after she bolted from a yellow cab around 2:30 a.m., the body barrister who lives with her church-going mom in Flatlands pulled off her panties, showed cops her lady parts, then lunged at them yelling, "Suck my pussy and eat my ass, you fucking pigs."
Classy.
Normally we don't see people cursing a police officer, deli owner Mohammed Rahman told the Post. But then she opened her clothes in front of the police officer, in front of us. She looked crazy. She showed everything to the cop. She had no panties. The cops were saying, "Calm down, lady, calm down, be cool." The incident was captured on the deli surveillance video. It shows Hendricks charging out of the shop, her buttocks exposed, and lunging at officers. The lawyer, who runs a small private practice in downtown Brooklyn, was slapped with a slew of charges, including theft of services, resisting arrest, disorderly conduct, and exposure. She explained, "My boyfriend broke up with me. I went out. I got drunk. I had a bad night.
This is why I don't drink.
It was obviously an altercation, but I have no recollection from a certain point in the evening. Everyone was in a festive mood," she said. "Things were flowing. Then things got out of control. I was wasted. All caps bold. You couldn't get bigger. All caps bold. Wasted." So there you go.
Did you watch the video?
I did not yet.
It's pretty funny because you do see her sort of running out, and it just appears that she's wearing a shirt and no pants, and she runs out of the deli, and the poor guy is just standing there, and she runs at police, but then the police clearly just take her down, so all you see is her fly out of the frame, legs in the air. I was like, well, okay.
Like the world's worst Superman movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it's tough to be a lawyer.
That just sounds so funny. Like, I had a bad night. Like, I don't know. I mean, I had a bad night last night. My stomach hurt a little bit. I watched TV and stayed up too late.
This is probably one of those, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway, stories, but I'll keep it very generic. But there's a rumored story.
Mm-hmm.
That one of our local DAs had a similar incident where she ended up drunk driving and crashing her car and getting taken away by her friend or spouse or somebody came and drove her home. But all the bystanders said that during this entire thing, she had no pants on.
Oh, nice. My God.
I would argue that that's worse because I think driving drunk and crashing your car, allegedly, is way worse than skipping out on a $6 cab fare. Just saying. But yeah.
I don't know how pants come off. My pants stay on.
Right.
I'm really good about keeping my pants on. Unless I want my pants off. And usually it's not in a deli.
Now, as we've learned from Becca, she normally stays clothed unless she's at a strip club and the stripper takes her clothes off.
Wah wah.
You miss
it. Happens one time.
Once
and then
in a
you
lifetime.
Get a reputation.
Hey, Becca.
Stripping tune.
Yeah.
What are you doing this weekend?
Hitting up the strip club?
There you go.
Centerfolds of Becca. I'm going to see some lady tatas. And not ta-tas. Stripper tatas.
I was
going to
say,
ones.
At the strip club? Oh, thank you.
sometimes the oddest things get blamed for things, especially down under. In Australia, a beer fridge has been blamed for a cell phone network blackout. I don't know about that, but faced with reports of a black spot that interfered with the mobile network in several neighborhoods, technicians at Australia's cell phone provider Telstra said they recently found the source of the problem was a man's beer fridge in his garage. The refrigerator was tracked by software robots and workers wielding special antennas. I'm amazed something like this could knock out parts of the network, Craig Reynolds tells the Herald Sun. You certainly got to stop and wonder. I'm going to run and see if my fridge is all right next time there's a problem with the network. Ted, you're more tech savvy than most of us in the room. Is there any chance that the fridge is the culprit in this?
If there's if it's something about the electricity that's interfering with the equipment, maybe. I don't know. I'd have to read more about it. It sounds suspect to me, but
yeah, they're blaming the motor in the fridge causing the disturbance. The engineers say an electric spark evidently created enough radio frequency noise to create blackouts in the 850 megahertz spectrum that carries mobile voice calls and internet data.
Wow.
That's so amazing. Yeah, it's really weird.
I don't know.
I think they're just blaming their crappy coverage on something.
It's a fridge.
Yeah. It was this bloke's fridge. I don't know what it was. I got to work on my Australian accent.
It's
sorry.
An excuse to confiscate cold beer.
Yeah. It's not Australian for beer. It's not. They brew it here. It's not at all. They make fun of it. Foster's.
That's the new ad campaign.
Foster's. It's not really Australian for beer. Now to off to Spain, the other side of the world. We cover the whole world this week.
Wow.
Ooh, international, Nate Darling Show. International.
Brunette, Spain. is sending dog defecation back to pet owners in an official box marked lost property.
I like it.
Wow.
A team of 20 volunteers walk around town in search of dog owners who failed to pick up their dog's poop. Volunteers then approach a pet owner under the guise of casual conversation to get the name of the dog, which is stored in a pet database in the town hall. The volunteers proceed to package the dog excrement and mail it back to the pet owner's home. A total of 147 deliveries were made during 1 week in February.
Wow.
But it apparently worked. The town has seen a 70% drop in the amount of dog defecation on the streets. Last year, dog owners were chased by a remote-controlled device containing the dog excrement.
Wow.
The mechanical device had a label that read, "Don't leave me, pick me up."
That's pretty funny.
The mayor of this town is obsessed with dog poop.
You know what? There's nothing... I'm not saying there's nothing worse, because there are, like, roving gangs of murderers or worse. But a close second are people who don't pick up after their dogs. Because it just starts to pile up, and it's like you've, like, a Lincoln Log showroom full of dog shit hanging around town if you do that. So and I love the sign that they use in the graphic for this. It's a like an outline of a dog humped up with a poo underneath him and the circle and the red line through it. So I would totally support that if the city of Sacramento wanted to start doing that. You know what, this would be the best. Instead of having those evil meter maids going around harassing people who were busy paying their taxes and trying to live their lives, if they went around and chased down the scofflaws who didn't pick up dog poop.
Yeah, what's the fine for dog poop, not picking up dog poop, I wonder?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Do they make more money that way for a while?
I don't know. I think they should just mail it back. And it would be great for the post office, too, because you keep the post office in business.
Wow.
Well, I'm looking to try and help everybody out here.
Do you feel like you do a lot of walking around Sacramento that the rest of us do not do. Do you feel like there's a dog poop problem?
It's not super severe, but yeah, there is. I'll see it all the time. Like people will have their dog go in that little grass strip between the sidewalk and the street
that no one technically owns.
Yeah. So you'll be walking along and it'll be like up next to a tree or something like that. And it's like, really, dude, come on. You can't do that.
We're very good poop picker uppers, Paul and I. We always carry pockets full of poop bags and we are poop picker uppers, but we see a ton of poop when we're walking the dog.
Yeah, because people don't pick up after the dogs.
The funniest thing was too, you know, Paul's a nicer human than I am in general. But he'll often say, well, at least it'll biodegrade, it'll wash away, it'll be gone. But a couple times we've actually gone and seen that people picked up the poo, put it in a poo bag, not in the bag, and then threw the bag on the ground, which is way worse.
Yeah,
it's just worse.
Just
yeah.
Leave the poo then.
Yeah, throw it in the bushes or something if you're going to do that.
Or thankfully, put in a garbage can. Our dog, Rusty, does not like to poop in the grass, so a lot of times we can't pick it up because he'll poop like deep in ivy and you'd have to dig for it and you can't find it. So he does us a favor.
Out of sight, out of mind, right?
It's true.
But not out of smell.
Unless you're the poor gardener who has to trim the bushes.
Yeah, then there's poop.
Yeah, it's like, my hedge clippers. How do you say hedge clippers in Spanish?
Yo no sé, I don't know.
Yeah, so because it'll be like that. Anyway, new news. I was very disappointed in the Kardashians this week because normally that's my light thing to get me through between the killing and Mad Men. And by the way, this week's Mad Men, holy crap.
La, 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 no.
I'm not going to talk about it at all. But there were three things in this week's Mad Men that made me go, holy shit. There were three holy shit moments in this week's Mad Men. Three. Not one, not two, three.
No.
And our friend Larry posted something and then he quickly took it down. But I was chatting with him about it. And I'm like, oh my God. It was one of those oh my God moments where you're just like talking back and forth. You don't get those a lot on TV lately.
Well, I can't wait for that a year from now when it's on Netflix so that we can discuss all that. Yeah.
Us too.
Yeah, I don't know. I think part of the price you pay for wanting to cut the cord and saving money is you're gonna get some things spoiled.
No.
Yes, it is. Honestly, it is.
No, just don't
I know who killed Rosie Larson.
I don't even
That's the killing. Just saying. Not this season, though. That was solved. So it's a new season of The Killing. Anyway, so the Kardashians, I'm watching it, and it's like Rob is overweight, and he doesn't want to work out, and Brody Jenner is sad because Bruce wasn't a good dad, and Bruce doesn't want to talk about it. And then there's this thing where the woman who married Robert Kardashian on his deathbed is selling stories about them. It was nothing but bummer stuff. It's like, listen, Kardashians, you exist for one thing, to amuse me and cleanse my palate between important TV. I don't want any of this. But good news, if you don't get enough of them, the matriarch of the family, Kris Jenner, is going to be coming to a TV near you very soon.
Her family is the talk of the town. And now she's doing all the talking on her new show.
Well, imagine that. Things are about to get interesting.
Kris, coming this summer.
I bet they're not about to get interesting at all, though.
Yeah, they might be overhyping that.
Maybe it's a promo.
Hi, I'm Kris Jenner, and I'm a mom with a pretty active family. When we're all just hanging out, that's my favorite time. Lots of laughs, great conversation, and I thought that would make for a great talk show.
Isn't that all talk shows?
Kris premieres July 15th.
That's why they're called talk shows. We're going to sit around and talk. I thought that was a great idea for a talk show.
Wow, she's a genius.
So wait, is it a talk show, like an Oprah-style thing, or is it a reality show that follows her life?
I think it is, in fact, a talk show. Here's a special...
Hey, guys, I'm so excited to hang out with everybody all summer long. My show debuts Monday, July 15th, and there's the new logo, so can't wait to see you then.
That was a special message from her.
That summed it up.
So there you go.
So it's a show with a logo.
Yeah.
We know this much.
It's her name. It's her name, Kris, in lowercase, with the I dotted with the butterfly, I think. So there you go. There you go. Coming this summer, too.
I just love that she's like, I love talking. I talk to my family. I thought that'd be a great idea to do a talk show about talking because I like to talk.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. More tool.
Whoa. All right. I thought you were done, Mel. Sorry.
Whatever.
First up in cooler tool, cell phones. Cell phones. Ted, what's
the context of this one?
Well, we led off the show with breakup texts.
It's been ages since we started the show.
I know. Oh. That's why I'm reminding you. That's why I didn't...
Cell phones in general, I think, are for the most part, a good thing when used responsibly.
So cool.
They're cool. That's fine.
Becca?
Cell phones themselves are cool, but people are on them way too much, and that is tool.
Mel, what say you?
I'm going to go tool because I'm old school, and if we could just go back to the way things were and I could just carry a quarter and use a cell phone use a payphone when I needed it, I'd totally be fine with that.
Mel, do you still have the flip phone?
I do, and I don't text still.
She doesn't text.
I know that. you know what? I'm going to go tool with cell phones because I think it's led to actually less face-to-face and vocal communication
so
between
much.
People. You rely on texts and everything back and forth, and you don't... There's so much context that's lost between, like, the inflection of a voice and you know, the lilt of the way you turn a phrase. And there's no font for sarcasm yet, so...
Well, plus, I feel sad when I'm out to dinner with friends and they're all looking at their phones, and I always have my phone on silent, and I don't have a cool smartphone, so I don't get it out and just check it. And I don't know, I'll go out to social occasions to see people face-to-face, and everyone is texting and talking and...
Playing words with friends.
Yeah, and I feel lonely.
I'm being targeted here, everyone.
I'm not targeting anything.
You have. But the thing is, I mean... You know, in the business world, I feel like people have been talking about for ages how email has made it hard for people to communicate. And I think it's not the technology, it's the misuse of the technology is the problem. So I think cell phones are cool. I don't, people, not so cool.
Yeah, I do like the fact that if you just have one thing to tell somebody and you just want to impart one bit of knowledge, you can send a text and go, hey, I'm running 15 minutes late. I don't need a response back and forth. It's like, okay, good. That's great because... People pick it up whenever they want. It's no, but people misuse it. It then becomes the conversation. Have you ever been in texting? Not you. Have you ever been texting somebody back and forth, and it becomes this long texting thing, and finally you just give up and call them?
Yes, because like if you're like, where should we eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? Well, we could go to this place. Like that's the kind of thing you need to have in person, because otherwise it's like 5 minutes between each reply. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a 15-second conversation or 10 minutes of texting. Up next in cooler tool, mailing dog poop. Becca, what say you?
In the way that they did it in an official capacity, I will say cool.
Mel.
Oh, I'd do it in an unofficial capacity. I just mail my neighbor's poop right back to him. I think it's amazing.
Ted?
Definitely cool.
I think it supports the Postal Service, and that's awesomely cool. And finally, in cooler tool, we're going to music again. It's a lot of that this week. Kris Jenner's new talk show. Mel, cooler tool.
I hate her so much. Tool.
Ted.
Well, the idea of a show, a talk show where people sit and talk is fascinating to me. I think it's high time someone tried it. So I say it's very cool. So I'd like to see what that's like.
Becca?
I honestly, I don't know anything about her, but I think we need a new audio drop that says, what the world really needs is more Kardashian shows. Because really, there aren't enough.
You know, I'm going to say cool because anything that's new programming over the summertime is great because so often during the summertime, you just get repeats. So any new programming is good programming. So I'm going to go there with that. So I'm going to say it's cool.
Oh, God. I was thinking there's got to be so much more entertainment out there to be seen that's not on TV, like on the internet. But I don't know. I don't know what people are doing. Never mind. Go Kardashian lady. Go. I love you.
Real live shows with people?
Or just talking with people. Well, those two, yeah, I think there's live shows to be seen.
Let's just all meet up and talk instead of watching her show.
I went to Les Mis the other day. It was amazing.
Wow.
Did you cry? Cool.
I didn't just because I think because I had seen it before.
You've
it
seen
did
it,
have
yeah.
the same impact.
Let them eat cake is what I say. Mm. This went viral last week. No, what? Oh,
sorry. Nothing. The cat's just looking confused.
Well, that's Hef. That's what he does. He's not smart, but he is a sweet fella. This photo went viral last week. A worker at Taco Bell licking a stack of taco shells.
Oh, no.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
Punishment has been served to him now. The incriminating photo posted on their Facebook page, further convincing Americans not to enjoy their Mexican fare. Earlier reports could not confirm whether or not the photo caption claiming the shell assault occurred in Ridgecrest was accurate, but the location has since been confirmed and the worker has since been penalized for his inability to refrain from tonguing tacos. Thank you. Kathy Marks, the store's manager, told CNBC management is, quote, currently dealing with a situation. Here's the corporate spokesman. Nothing is more important than the safety of our customers and team members, and we have strict food handling procedures and zero tolerance for any violations. When we learned of this situation, we immediately contacted the restaurant's leadership, and although we believe it is a prank and the food was not served to customers, we are conducting a full-scale investigation and will be taking swift action against those involved.
I love a full-scale investigation. That means just bringing him into the office and being like, did you lick the tacos? You're fired. Like, that's it, right?
Probably.
Well, they were doing some sort of... Can you imagine a world without lawyers?
Sorry.
They were doing some sort of like a promotional thing where they wanted their employees to take pictures of themselves enjoying the loco taco thingos.
Oh.
So I think, yeah. I think the argument on his side of it was, this wasn't like for food or for people. This was part of, you told us to take funny pictures and send them in.
Well, action has reportedly been taken. The New York Post says the photographer no longer works for the company and the young man in the photo has been suspended and is in the process of being fired.
I don't think they had a choice once it came out that way. Nobody cares why it happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad, though.
Going to your point, employees were reportedly encouraged to photograph themselves enjoying the new Cool Ranch Doritos Locos Tacos. An internal photo competition was even held. However, it's not clear if the shells in question belong to the new menu item.
Oh, brother.
Big brother.
If I were him, then I'd be really mad if I got fired if this was part of a contest.
Me too.
I would, too, except for the fact that it's Taco Bell. I mean, it's not like you can't go to another fast food joint and get another minimum wage job.
Yeah, but his record, his reputation, he's just, he'll never find another job.
He's going to be bartending soon, and there'll be the sign up that'll be like, the Taco Bell kid who got fired tonight behind the bar.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Like AJ.
Could be 15 minutes. That's a good idea.
although maybe he'll find a girlfriend now.
Hey, because he's good at licking taco.
Exactly.
Double wink.
There you go.
Fish taco, because that's what vaginas are.
We go now.
So stupid. All I can do is go.
We go now to the bustling metropolis of Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Sheboygan,
where 46-year-old Kirk Riddle of Sheboygan faces 12 counts of theft in a business setting, accused of using funds from Kohler Company to try and start an escort service. That's right, Kohler. They make toilets. A criminal complaint in the case says Riddle was an employee with Kohler, assigned at the Beacon, that's a building in the Kohler campus. They have a campus, too. Wow. The complaint says that between April 16th and May 17th, so it only lasted a month, he used his corporate credit card to spend over $17,000 and his purchase card to spend more than $100,000, all in unauthorized transactions. The total of unauthorized transactions during the 30-day time period exceeded $117,500, according to the complaint. During the investigation into his spending, it was determined he had spent much of the money for illegal activities. The complaint accuses him of spending $72,000 in two separate purchases to obtain advertising from a company called Dex One. The company says he paid for Internet and Yellow Pages advertising with Dex One for, quote, adult VIP entertainment in Las Vegas, which he was the proprietor of. The complaint says he made an additional purchase, spending $15,000 with a company called DESP, which sells female escort services, or vagina. So, wow.
Wait, he spent $75,000 on advertising and $15,000 on the escorts?
Yes.
Wow, the economy is kind of out of whack there, isn't it?
No. You got to spend money to make money, Ted.
Don't you sort of love, though, that there's a hub where you can hire escorts for your company? Like, I didn't realize it was such a so many chain... links in the chain.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever happened in the old days when you would just put an ad on Craigslist and build your escort service the old-fashioned way?
Happened to just putting a hoe on the corner?
You're right. Before Craigslist.
Yeah,
whatever happened
Craigslist,
to that?
Craigslist. Psh. Put your hoe on the corner. Keep her in line. Oh, wait, was that a rape joke? No, it wasn't. It was just a violence against women.
Keep her in line by meeting her needs and giving her good health benefits.
Mm-hmm. Smack a bitch. Anyway.
With a bonus for work well done.
It's not okay.
And new outfits.
Yeah, make
outfits
sure
are important when you work on the corner.
Yes.
And comfortable shoes.
Is this from your stripping career that you know about these things?
I didn't have a career.
Sorry, you didn't get paid for it.
I mean, I was there for work, but I was not working as a stripper.
You were there for work and you were naked, but you didn't get paid.
No, I did get paid. It was an article that I wrote for my job.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Ted, were you not listening?
I was. I'm just being mean.
I know. It's
awesome. So you were working and you got paid for stripping. Got it. Okay.
Yes.
So that's my girl.
We're all clear.
So we go down to unfortunate incident in Rhode Island where the news crew is going to talk to the mother of a shooting victim. Mm. And this is what happens to them.
God.
This is kind of crazy.
A family in Providence unleashes their dogs on ABC 6 reporter Abby Nesgoda. Now, Abby tried to talk to the mother of the teen shot at a graduation party not long after a 16-year-old turned himself in for that shooting. It was at that point when that woman set her dogs on the attack.
How do you feel about that?
A simple question, and this is the response we get.
Are you going to throw rocks?
We were on a public street in Providence to get reaction from a mother after the man accused of shooting her teenage daughter at a graduation party had just turned himself in.
A 16-year-old has turned himself in.
Okay,
but Melissa Lawrence turned violent herself.
Are you going to throw rocks?
First comes the rock.
Give me my bat.
Barely missing our photographer's head, scraping his arm. We think the interview is over and we're about to leave. Instead, Lawrence comes out wielding a baseball bat.
Why are you attacking us, ma'am?
Get away from me!
Then she sicks her two dogs on us.
Scat! No!
Scat!
Scat!
One bites my forearm. Then I take off running, dropping my mic as they chase me down the street, biting and scratching. Eventually, I make it to a backyard, three houses down. Lawrence finally calls her dogs back.
Come on, Zaina!
But not before cursing at us one last time.
And get the away from my house! You dumb white.
In Providence, I'm Abby Nesgoda, ABC 6 News.
They did put it on TV. The woman has been arrested, charged with two counts of felony assault with a dangerous weapon.
Good.
She will be, as you hear this, she's already had her first court appearance.
You know, that makes me really sad. I mean, of course, it's not okay to throw rocks at people or hit them with a bat or whatever, but she's obviously grieving in this really vulnerable situation, did not want to talk, and I feel like I don't think any of her actions were justified, but I also just feel like it's a real tragedy that we feel like we can just get in people's faces
But she was, I mean, I don't know if you watched the video, but she's like out in her front yard at her gate. She could have just turned around and gone to her house and closed the door.
Yeah, they never left
the
sidewalk.
They didn't even go onto her property or ring her bell, it didn't look like.
Yeah, there's a pretty standard protocol when you're a especially a local journalist, when you're talking to a victim's family especially, And first of all, I mean, they never came off the sidewalk. They were, by the time she went into, by the time she starts throwing rocks, she's like, I want to talk to you people. By the time she throws the rock, the reporter and the photographer had already moved about 8 feet back. So they were already leaving. They just started rolling. When she came back out with the bat, the photographer started rolling again because you want to have evidence of what happened. So this is somebody who, yeah, you had your tragedy and all, but that doesn't make it okay for you to go on the attack. Just say, I don't want to talk to you assholes, and go in your house. That would have been the end of it. That literally would have been the end of it. But and then the whole dog thing. Thankfully, they weren't actually good guard dogs or anything because they look like two pit bulls. And for all of the yelling and screaming and stuff you heard, and there was a little biting and a little scratching, the reporter is okay. If it would have been dogs who were actually attack dogs, she would have been very, very badly hurt.
Yeah.
Because she was wearing very high heels and a short skirt, and she wasn't running away from two dogs. There's no way she would have, if they would have been any sort of attack dog, there's no way she would have gotten away that well.
I thought she actually handled her escape pretty well. I would have freaked out. I would have been screaming and crying and flailing, and she had composure and sensibly got away as best she could.
I would not have dropped the mic because that's your only weapon against two dogs. I would not have dropped the microphone. Other than that, I think she did fine.
Yeah.
But crazy stuff, crazy stuff. You know, it's time for a palate cleanser. You know, palate cleanser, something different.
A little sorbet.
Yeah, let's start with the Heaven and Hell songs. So we'll hear a little bit of those. Let's start with Becca.
Hell songs. I was actually dreading having to even hear clips of them on this show. That's how much I don't like them.
Yeah. So this was the one that I'll start playing. You can talk about why this is a hell song for you.
Okay. Oh, okay. So this one is actually Hotel California. I don't know if anybody who loves this song has actually listened to the lyrics, but in addition to being really depressing, it's also scary and creepy. And, you know, all the, like, they stab it with their steely knives, but they just can't kill the beast. Like, it is a bummer of a song. But for some reason, people think that this is a party song. And so I hear it everywhere. And, I mean, like even I used to live right next to a school. And, like, they would play it at, like, kids' soccer games. And I've heard it every time I've been on vacation. I hear it in grocery stores all the time. That's the place I hear it most frequently. And I just
Where are you shopping?
No, I swear it comes up. I just heard it the other day in CVS. No, Rite Aid. Okay. And that's how I knew it was time to leave. I was impulse buying, and I was like, I probably shouldn't buy this makeup. And then this song came on, and I was like, all right, I'm good. And and so this song has showed up. I've done a lot of solo traveling in my life, and anywhere you go in the world where tourists hang out, where, like, Western tourists hang out, this song shows up. So I've had a lot of just like, oh, I'm here, and I'm alone, and what am I doing with my life? And then this song comes on, and I'm like, God dang, no. And my best, I think, Hotel California misery story was my very best friend in the whole world, who I've had since we've been best friends since high school, since we were like 13 years old. Her mother unfortunately passed away, and shortly before she did, we went to go visit her mom on this like really depressing road trip. And after we had visited her mom and it was like totally sad, we were starving, and we went to the grocery store looking for hummus, but we were in rural Nevada. They do not have hummus. We're both vegetarians. And we're walking around and around and around this grocery store, just like, where's the hummus? Is it in the deli section? Is it in the cheese section? And we didn't know it wasn't actually there. And this song was playing the whole time. And it was the saddest day. And we were so hungry and so sad.
But you can't find it there. I think they actually made this song into a TV movie in the 70s at one point.
Oh, God, I'm so glad I haven't seen it.
Unless my mind is playing tricks on me, which it could be.
Well, my other hell song is also movie related.
Yeah, this one, I actually found a way to make you feel better about this other song.
Oh, okay.
Because sometimes what you really need to do is just put a different spin on something to feel better about it. So on Spotify, there wasn't the Pink Floyd version, so I went with Richard Cheese's version of Another Brick in the Wall, because I thought that
Oh, this is much better. I would not have cried. So my deal with Another Brick in the Wall is that again, a creepy, creepy song that people think is awesome and fun. And when I was a kid, you know, my parents really liked, well, I guess now we call it classic rock, but it was just rock, you know, at that point when I was growing up. And I somehow, I don't know if anybody's seen The Wall, and it might be kind of cheesy a little bit by today's standards. But back then, when I was about five, I was somehow, The Wall was on where I was, and nobody was really paying attention to me watching The Wall.
Obviously.
The Wall has cartoons in it.
Right.
Which, as a kid, whenever something animated was on TV, I was like, oh, yay, you know? And the cartoon that sticks out in my head still from when I was five is, you know, there's a school teacher, and he's pushing kids through a meat grinder, and they're coming out like hamburger.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a commentary about the conformity of the educational system and blah, blah, blah. But I don't get that at five. I'm just like, an adult is like murdering these children and turning them into hamburger. And this is the song that goes with it. And so I swear, every time I hear it to this day, I'm almost 40 years old. I like my chest kind of clenches and I'm like, ugh. But when you're a little kid, people love to point out to you, hey, this song has kids singing in it, because like the rock radio station was always on when I was a kid, and people would be like, don't you love this song? There's kids singing, you know? And I just like, no, I hate it.
This is how Becca became a vegan, everyone.
Yeah,
watching
seriously.
Kids get ground up.
Hamburgers,
it's funny that
people
don't ever listen to the lyrics of songs.
They don't.
They do. This song, that song was actually such a part of my childhood, because my dad used to take me regularly to the midnight showing of The Wall at the local movie theater.
Oh, no! Sorry, you know what I'm talking about.
And we would, you know, and we would sit and we would talk about it
what
and
is
the
wrong
symbolism
with people?
And the meaning behind it. And I loved it because it was sort of bonding time.
Okay.
Because
my dad's
such a rock music aficionado. I mean, he has such a vast collection. He takes it very seriously and really knows so much about music. And he said, you know, this is really a thinking man's album with a lot of commentary on the world and life and functioning and interpersonal relationships. And so I think I got it from an early age what a lot of the lyrics were from him, so I didn't get fooled into thinking it was something it wasn't. But it, for me, it's such an opposite thing because it's such a bonding with my dad, kind of going out to the midnight movie as a teenager.
Ooh.
And hanging out with my dad and not having to go to bed. And
so I think the lesson here is that parental supervision makes all the difference in whether or not you like Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Could be. Ted, have you ever seen The Wall or any part of it?
I saw it when I was little, and I remember being creepy, but I didn't really understand it.
The only time I saw it was I was in college in Maine at St. Joseph's College, and they decided it would be a good idea to play it in the lounge because that was where the TV was. And I had been out drinking, and I came in, and I was drunk, and this was on, and everybody's like super into it because some of them were high. And I sat down, I watched it for like 20 minutes, and I'm like, I am so fucking bored. this is awful. So another brick in that wall. So on the other side of the spectrum, Becca, the song that you would like to hear over and over again in heaven.
Oh, okay. So this song is called My Foolish Heart, Bhaja Govinda by Krishna Das. And probably everyone is like, what already? But, okay, wait, we'll just listen for a second.
Why do you weep? You throw yourself away.
So the thing about Krishna Das, I heard, the first time I ever heard Krishna Das was in a yoga class. And my thought was like, did Bruce Springsteen make like a Sanskrit album that I do not know about? Like, what am I hearing? And so I asked the teacher and she said, no, this is Krishna Das. And so I looked him up, and he is basically, his story is that in the 60s, he was in the band that became Blue Oyster Cult. And right around the time that they were going to kind of get signed and do their whole thing, he was also really into Ram Dass and meditation. And he had this choice, go to India with Ram Dass or be a rock star, and he chose to go to India. And he lived with his guru and followed him and did, you know, the whole devotee life for years. And then when his guru died, he came back to the U.S. and started making chants and music, the kind of music that he learned in India, but in a Western style, so that people here could have the same experience that he had had singing and chanting with his guru. And the mix of his like beautiful Western voice and the style of the music is, I just love it. It just like, I don't know, it makes me so happy. And all the songs are prayers. And what Bhaja Govinda actually means is remember God. So this song he starts singing you know, about how he's crying and he's unhappy. And then the rest of the song, it kind of picks up and it's just a chant to like, hey, remember God, you know, hey, my foolish heart, life is bigger and better. And I figured if I have to listen to one song over and over, which frankly doesn't sound like heaven to me, it should be a song that's a prayer and that's enlightening me and reminding me of the beauty of everything.
Well, that's nice, but
was that the most Becca moment of life?
Yeah,
I mean, it was just so encompassing of you as a human.
Yeah.
But I think he missed out because he was in Blue Oyster Cult. He could have done Don't Fear the Reaper.
That's also
which
inspiring.
Which is way cooler.
And if you're in heaven, you know you don't have to fear the Reaper anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. See, Becca?
And Godzilla.
Oh, yeah.
I always like the Godzilla song. Oh,
yeah. You got your Godzilla song.
Yeah.
You got your Burning for You.
No, I'm saying either path would have been good. I mean, we didn't have to choose, right? We have both. We have Krishna Das and we have Blue Oyster Cult.
So there you go.
All as well.
Very, very interesting.
Good job, Becca.
So, Ted, let's move to you.
I cringe at the thought of the next, if you're playing my hell song.
I am. So, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just waiting for the lyrics to kick in. This is God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood. And I know it makes you sound like a total, like, I hate America because I hate this song. But I actually don't hate America. I'm actually quite fond of America. But this song represents a lot about what bothers me about America. I feel like it became this big hit around the time of 9/11 tragedy. And everyone starts rallying around the flag and just justifying being horrible to other countries and other people. And just this notion of we can do whatever we want and be awful people because at least we know we're free. I don't know. It's just people cling to this notion of freedom a lot in America. And I think we forget about the liberty aspect of it. And just, you know, we're free, but we also have to be treat each other equally. And I don't know. It just feels like it's designed to pull at your heartstrings and just rally around the flag without having any real substance to it. I have Mel nodding at me.
I second that, and this is an awful song.
Okay, thank you. I was worried I was like going to shock you guys. God bless the USA. This is the perfect wrap yourself in the flag song. You know, I think as Americans, we have a lot of responsibility to make this country the land of the free, the home of the brave, and a land of liberty. We just focus on the fact that we're not technically slaves. You know, it's the perfect nation, I think, is a mistake. So I just, yeah, that's why I don't want to hear the song over and over again, because it makes me sad and angry. And here's the song I had in heaven. This is a tough one to come up with because heaven is eternal, and to hear the same song over and over and over and over again anywhere is going to get under your skin. But
yep.
This is Enigma, Return to Innocence. And lately it's become the song that I, like when I'm feeling in a dark place, I kind of want to hear this song. It's got a spiritual undertone to it. And this notion of returning to innocence means to just kind of take a step back from all the crap in the world that's just making you mad and angry and that's kind of obstructing your view of the dreams you have, and just return to your innocence, return to yourself, just, you know, relax and just remember what you're about and why you're here and what's good about you. Because I think deep down, when you get to the innocence of it all, we're all good people who have good things to bring to the world. So it kind of inspires me. Except for Lee Greenwood. She may have meant well. I'm sure he meant well, but... So,
yeah. I mean that song was originally... It came out in the mid-80s, right around the Ronald Reagan Wrap Yourself in a Flag time.
Oh.
It was just resurrected, as it were, around 2001. Any USA-type song tended to be, but God Bless the USA was an 80s country song.
Oh, I didn't realize. But I guess that his version that came up around 9/11 just
it was just resurrected. It had been around. My dad, your dad listened to rock music, your parents listened to, my dad listened to country music.
Oh, okay.
So I did not get my rock music at home. so that did not happen. So Mel, we turn to you.
It was so hard, too, because I wanted to do an Eagles song as well, because, right, Take It Easy is Eagles.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the only reason is because I worked at a job that we were supposed to get a new tape every day or every week of music, but it never changed for a whole summer. So I listened to the same songs over and over again. But this song drives me fucking bananas, and I don't even know why. It's long and whiny. Sort of pathetic. Never meaning
to send. You know, people who smoke a lot of pot tend to enjoy this song.
You know, even when I was doing that, I didn't. I just found it whiny. It's that whole, do I love you? I love you. I hate that part. You know that part, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think it comes in around here.
You won't find it now.
It takes a long time. It's such a long time. Oh, wait. Here we go.
Shut up. Longest song ever.
Listen, when you work in radio, this song is great because it's 4 minutes and 20.
Go take a poop.
Yep. Exactly. This is the threshold for going to poop. 4 minutes and 26
this
seconds.
This is Stairway to Heaven.
See, Stairway to Heaven's like 7+ minutes.
Oh, you can take a poop and wash your hands and have a snack.
Rub one out.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that, but
I'm not.
Let's pull Mel out of hell up to heaven where she's hearing what?
Just Breathe, Pearl Jam.
And,
it's a love song. That's all.
Okay.
I don't know that I could say much more to it. Listen to the words at the beginning, and they make me cry.
Here we go.
Yes, I understand that every life must end.
Uh-huh.
As we sit alone, I know someday we must go.
This was Pearl Jam coming back, too. It's from the album Backspacer, which came out of nowhere. Like, Pearl Jam hadn't been around forever. And then suddenly this song, and I forget what the other one was that was out, but just like, boom, here's Pearl Jam, they're back. And they're still good.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although their album Spin the Black Circle sucks. Just saying.
I just like I'm a lucky man, I can count on both hands the ones I love.
Aww.
I like that.
Nice. Saves time.
Sure, it does.
It's just a gorgeous song. I do listen to it sometimes just on repeat.
Mm.
It's relaxing. It's beautiful.
You know the song like that for me is, I have a couple of songs that I can never skip. And this sort of falls in line with Chris Isaac. You know the Chris Isaac song? Not Wicked Game, the other one. Anyway.
I don't know it.
I don't.
Hold on. Let me find it for you.
No. I had that album.
Mambo number 5? No,
it's Mambo. Yes, it's Mambo number 5. I hate it when I can't remember like which song is which. So I'm going to pause your Pearl Jam here for a second. Somebody's crying. If this comes on my iPod, I cannot skip this song. I just can't. I don't know why. It's not my heaven song, but it falls into that same category where it's just like a pretty song. And I will occasionally sing along, although I can't hit that note. So that's a little aside right there.
See, Heaven would have been easier if I could have a whole album, because there's certain there's not a song on the album, but the album as a whole, like Paul Simon's Graceland.
Oh yeah.
That could be like my Heaven album.
That would be my Hell album.
See,
that's why the concept of Heaven and Hell is so
subjective,
wrong, and non-existent, because you're like, this would be Heaven if I could hear Graceland over and over again, and I would sooner be disemboweled by a pit bull. Then listen to that thing. But here's my song that would be playing on a loop in hell.
Long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe.
And why? Well, just listen to this piece of shit. It combines all sorts of horrible things. Bad dance music, horrible country music, a little bit of bad techno. It's all jammed into one big musical ball of shit.
Nah.
Okay, you're a fan of The New Girl, right? They used this as revenge in a couple of episodes ago.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Where did you come from? Where did you grow?
If I'm in hell, this is on a loop at this volume.
Sadly, this will probably be on a loop in my head now for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, so, but let's get out of hell right now. Ascend into heaven with the angelic voices of Hanson. That's right.
Oh, this is a fun song.
Yeah, buddy. What would be better than getting out of bed in
now
heaven?
I'm in my disembowel mode.
Oh. I'm in bed in heaven. I roll out, and all of a sudden I hear Hanson singing. I'm like, yeah.
Wow, I'm surprised.
I never would have picked this song for you, but
again.
I love that you picked it.
Let me bring it to hell.
It's such a fun song.
Yeah, it is. Go so fast, yay. It's another one that I can't skip in the car.
Oh, I was like sitting here in my chair, just kind of grooving, looking around the room, and then my eyes landed on Mel's face, and she's just got this expression like, ugh. Now I feel bad because we're kind of torturing her.
That's okay. She mentioned Graceland.
Oh, but she make you play it.
Yeah. That's why the name on the door is the Nate Darling Show.
Actually,
it's apartment one, but still. So that's that. Want to mention before we get to small town news that if you'd like to support the show, there's two great ways to do it. Tell a friend about the show. You can get us on iTunes. You can get us on the Stitcher mobile app. You can go to NateDarlingShow.com and download every show that we've ever done. This is show 112.
Holy cow.
There is like 120 some odd hours of entertainment waiting for you, and it's all free.
Go back and listen to show number two. It was pretty dark, as I recall.
It was. It was just you and I, because Larry didn't make it back from a trip.
And I think dark. We talked about the penis in the disposal lady.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And
I don't know why I remember that.
Yeah, we did talk about that. The lady, and she was recently convicted, I believe. Cut off her husband's penis, threw in the garbage disposal.
You do a "Where are we now? Where are they now?"
Yeah,
Nate Darling
we followed that up. I follow up on news here.
Oh, good.
The other way to support the show is if you're shopping Amazon, go ahead and go to NateDarlingShow.com first. Click the Shop Amazon tab, and then go sick. Buy whatever you like. It helps support the show. It doesn't cost you anything at all. It's one extra click. Let me tell you this. My dad is 69 years old and not incredibly computer savvy, and he has mastered this.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's...
I can't think because of Hanson.
Well, that's okay. I'm plugging the Amazon
thing. Go to Amazon quick. Everybody, buy something so we'll turn this song off. I'll give you a dollar.
Buy Graceland.
Okay.
Buy
the
Krishna
Nate Darling
Box.
Show.
Oh, that's a good one.
Our little town. Small town news.
Yeah, that's right. It's time for small town news. Let me get some music
come
here for
from
that.
Where to go? Where to go?
There
I'll
you go.
Take
that
smells any
revenge.
Day. Yeah.
I'm mad that you put that song in my head.
Well, there you go. Small town news. We go to the hamlet of Plattsburgh, New York, where Little Garden, A Rite of Spring.
Who has written this?
Well, who do you think? It's
little.
A little garden.
It has the word little in the headline.
I'm old as dirt, but I'm still able to bend over and dig in it.
Mel's crying.
These days, there's likely to be dirt under the nails on my green thumbs. I can thank my late mother for that. Growing up, we always had large gardens. You name it, Alta Grace grew it. She always allotted a small plot for me. I was given seeds and plants and allowed to care for my little corner. As always, I wanted to dig in the dirt and sow my seeds on the first warm day in May.
Wank.
You horny bastard.
She would shake her finger and warn me to cease and desist until June 1st, when the last frost should be over. She allowed me to put the peas in before that, and I was appeased.
Oh, I see what
you
did there.
Oh, Gertie Little.
There were always little plants that started earlier inside the house and transplanted into their makeshift greenhouses, constructed from old glass windows and who knows what all. Gardening was, for me and my mom, an important rite of spring.
The end.
She canned everything she could up until recently. I still had the old copper canning receptacle under the bench in my garage. She called it a boiler wash tub. It had a top and wooden handles. I watched her fill the mason jars and put them in the water as it heated on the old kerosene stove. I ended up donating the tub to the Babby Rural and Farm Learning Museum on the River Road in Peru. There were many pleasant memories attached to it. I even recall her using it to boil water for washing clothes when it wasn't canning season. I've had large and small gardens over the years, depending on available space and inclination. One year, my plantings took over the entire side lawn, much to Kay's consternation, especially when a friend backed his pickup truck and dumped a large load of horse manure onto the grass. We had good crops that year and needed them for our burgeoning family.
Okay, Mel is actually appealing to the heavens. Why? Mm-hmm. Why? Her arms upraised.
Nowadays, there's no children left in the nest. Our six-bedroom 19th century Morrisonville home is now more full of what Kay calls my collected stuff than kids. As a matter of fact, we still have closets packed with things our grown offspring left behind. Hint, hint.
This is about gardening. What are you going on about your kids for?
This can shouldn't just... be allowed to be in any publication. Do a blog, you old fool.
Can we just talk about Mel's garden instead? She has an awesome garden.
The garden has been reduced to what I lovingly refer to
I
as
hate
my
you so much, Nate Darling.
It's my crop strip.
Don't hate the
running along the fence that separates our little space
from
that.
I curse you to a lifetime of cotton-eyed Joe.
I've been gardening too. Stash. We could talk about my garden.
I dug the sods and shook them out using an antique...
I planted watermelon.
...cultivator to break up the earth I
We've
managed to
We just picked a bunch of okra. I will suck you off right now if you stop. I swear to fucking God, take your penis out.
Wow, this show is so different with Mel instead of Christiana. Yeah,
she's never made that offer, I'm just saying. I'll skip ahead, as I often do, because...
I'm kind of thinking now about, like, because I know Ted loves puns, and if you had a last name that was pun-worthy, you know how Gordy Little works little into everything? Like, yeah, can you imagine just,
clever.
Like, using... Well, Nate, you could do it, because you have... You know, your last name is, you know, has other meanings. You could, like, be Nate's darling podcast. And, like, you could do it.
I could. I'm not going to. we skip ahead where he says, yes, Mom, I wait until June 1st to plant my tiny garden this year. No peas, please. But we do have a few tomato plants, cucumbers, peppers, carrots, and green and yellow wax beans.
Oh, green and yellow ones? Okay. Mm-hmm. Glad we both colors.
Carrots are off season for those things. That's a winter garden, fall garden.
Not in Plattsburgh, New York, Mel, where the ground freezes.
Oh.
Yeah.
How do they get decent carrots?
You plant them in the spring and you harvest them.
Oh,
when
I guess
they grow.
They're doing them in they're seeding them.
You guys, even John Mellencamp gave up.
Yeah, he's done. Speaking of a fence, I installed one around the crop strip to help keep the riverbank critters out. Kay wanted one tomato plant next to her flower garden, and with my little fence, it looks a lot like a gravesite. Let's all sing along with the late Rick Nelson's garden party. Have a green day, and please drive carefully.
Wait, what song?
Rick Nelson's garden party.
Is that like a song we all would just want to start singing?
Well, if you're old.
If you're 100.
Garden party.
Ricky Nelson.
I don't have no idea.
I don't know how it goes.
I just... Was
oh, you don't?
No, I'm not 112 years old. I don't know how it goes.
It goes something like this, I believe.
Garden party.
No.
Oh, I actually kind of like
aww,
it.
Aw, damn it.
Already.
Yeah.
Now I can't mock him.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow, this is a perfect song for him. He does that.
He does.
He shares old
I love that he just threw that in at the end, though, just because.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of The Nate Darling Show. And this week of The Nate Darling Show, thank you, Mel, for sitting in for Christiana.
You're so welcome.
It was good to have you back.
It was good to be back.
Warming that in right up until the Gordy Little stuff.
Yeah.
Well, things went downhill as soon as we started playing Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah, well, that is the song for hell. That's all I'm saying. So that'll do it for us. Everybody have a great weekend.
Yay.
Bye.
Enjoy yourselves. Be kind to each other. And enjoy the Butthole Surfers.
Yeah.
On the Nate Darling Show. We'll see you next week. Mikey had a facial scar and Bobby was a racist. They were all in love with dying. They were doing it in Texas. Tommy played piano like a kid out in the rain. And then he lost his leg in Dallas. He was dancing with the train. They were all in love with dying. They were drinking from a fountain that was pouring like an avalanche coming down the mountain. I don't mind the sun sometimes. The images it shows. I can taste you on my lips and smell you in my clothes. Cinnamon and sugar. Fiery auto crashes. Some will die in hot pursuit while sifting through my ashes. Some will fall in love with life and drink it from a fountain that is pouring like an avalanche coming down the mountain. I don't mind the sun sometimes. The images it shows. I can taste you on my lips and smell you in my clothes. Cinnamon and sugary and softly spoken lies. You never know just how you look through other people's eyes. Another Mikey took a knife while arguing in traffic. Flipper died a natural death. He caught a nasty virus. Then there was the ever-present football player rapist. They were all in love with dying. They were doing it in Texas. Holly caught a bullet, but it only hit his leg. Well, it should have been a better shot. Got him in the head. They were all in love with dying. They were drinking from a fountain that was pouring like an avalanche.
down the mountain.
I don't mind the sun sometimes, the images it shows.